Good morning and welcome to worship those who are in the pews and those who may be trying to connect with us this morning via live stream Facebook. We're having some technical difficulties, so you're going to be able to hear everything just wonderfully, but those who are home today may have a bit of a struggle. We're going to just do our very, very best. Let's just keep Mr. Dan Case in prayer and Mr. Michael Isaacs. They are conferring on the phone this morning. Michael is away, I believe, up north, but always available on a consultant basis. And we hope that we're going to be able to get it together for those who are seeking to follow the service at home. We do want to keep our tech team in prayer. Can you imagine the stress they feel under right now? So let's just know that they're doing their very best and offer our deep and sincere thanks for everything they make possible for us as a congregation seeking to continue worship near and far in these very different times. Well, I want to again welcome everyone here today, and may God bless us in a spirit of love as we gather. This is Valentine's Day, isn't it? And our church is all about love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you've called us to worship. Those here, we just ask your blessing upon them, and those who are seeking to share in our service at home, we ask your blessing upon them too. May this time, this hour of worship be an occasion, an opportunity for us to deepen and grow in love, in the spirit of your Son, O God, according to those ways that he has taught us and those ways that he has shown us by his own vital, loving life. In Jesus Christ, all this we ask. Amen. Well, congregation, want to share with you some announcements about life here at St. Paul. We are going to be starting a new season, the new season of Lent, this coming Wednesday, an Ash Wednesday service here, and it'll also be live streamed. We'll be distributing little packets of ashes because we won't be doing hand-to-forehead ministration as we have in years past, but hope that this can get us in the right spirit of this new season ahead. Next Sunday, we are going to be celebrating, as we do on major festival days, Sundays, the Sacrament of Communion, again, preparing us spiritually for these weeks ahead. And in the weeks hereafter, in lieu of our midweek services, there will be Lenten devotionals that will be shared with you via email, and I hope that you will make use of them both on Sundays and also on Wednesdays as you receive them. I hope that you'll look forward to them. That's all a part of what we call our Jerusalem walk. Our Sunday school continues to meet this morning in Fellowship Hall with masking and social distancing for safety. Today's lesson will focus on the difference between being a light and healthy, or having a light and healthy, or heavy and unhealthy heart. Through hands-on activities and presentations, our participating kids will gain a better understanding of what it means to lighten one another's load. So important for us in our life of faith. Here, we need to be here for each other always. Want to just note that lesson is also posted to the Christian Education blog. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but if you are not able to be here on Sunday morning, unable to follow the service live stream, it is broadcast on the website. It's put on the website as well, so you can always go back to the website and check on the service later in the day and catch up on what has been shared, what's been preached, and prayed for. In lieu of the annual ARC Valentine dinner dance that we usually host, our youth, Rock Hard and Faith Youth Fellowship usually hosts, we're going to be dropping off cards and cookies at the Applewood Nursing Center this morning. All cards and baked goods should be dropped off by the church today by 11 o'clock if you're going to would like to contribute to that. And items will be taken then for distribution by staff to residents. Our young adults continue to meet in Bible study on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock at Pastor Sholm's house, and we have a Tuesday morning Bible study that meets at 10:30 in the morning, ongoing, usually about 8 to 12 people. Ann Anderson here with us, worshiping with us this morning, as in other Sundays, participates in that faithfully each week. Ann, thank you for that. But it's just a great group of people, and it's handled, we meet telephonically, so we're keeping our social distancing in that way. But we still get some good study and discussion done. Offering envelopes are still available for pickup. Many of our church members have already done so. It's if you simply call and let us know, we can meet you at the curb and hand those to you. Help is needed for the next, our sixth drive-through Lenten fish suppers. Yesterday, coleslaw was made, so we're getting all ready for that. We're going to be taking all the good precautions in terms of hosting those suppers, and volunteer help is needed. To volunteer, please speak with Jim Poet or give a call to the church office. Today, our fellowship of concern includes Kim Beyer, who just had knee replacement surgery, Melissa Winter, a young person of our congregation, a young adult, who just had some major surgery as well. She's now back home. Rosemary Laszlo at home, Eleanor Rossi at home, Neil McCacken at home, Margot Charette at home. Jerry Lynn still at the hospital, recuperating from surgery this past week. Let's keep her in prayer. Others to remember, Brent Kuhn, now home from the hospital, Shirley Havenstein, Bob Black, Jim Block, Arnold Konofsky, Sierra Mack, Kirk Blanchard, Carrie Hill, and Maria McZink, who had been on ventilators for weeks, many weeks, now both off ventilators and doing better. So let's continue to keep them in prayer. They are making progress. Let's also remember Sue Spears, Diane Sturgeon, Bert Thompson, Judy Neiman, Cheryl Schwab, Richard Jansen, Bruce Werner as well, and Christy Smart. It's with great sadness that I share news that I received this morning that Sherilyn Powell has passed on. She passed on about 2:30 this morning, and she was at her daughter's home. Let's keep her in prayer, and of course there'll be a memorial prayer next week for her as well. We have no word about arrangements for funeral memorial service, so those arrangements will probably be announced this coming week, and we'll share that with you via email. Well, those are our announcements for this morning, and I want to, at this time, turn to our scripture lessons, and our first lesson. Before we turn to our scripture lesson, we ask Tracy to offer one of our anthems this morning on the theme of love, which is also the theme of our scripture lessons for today.
Though I may speak with bravest fire, and have the gift to all inspire, and have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. Though striving so, my love profess, but not be given by love within, the prophet soon turns strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love worship and are freed.
Well, Tracy, you took the words right out of my mouth, so to speak, because, in fact, our next lesson is the basis for the beautiful anthem that Tracy has just sung for us. The words of 1 Corinthians 13, and as you listen to them, you'll hear much of what Tracy just sang for us. This is what Paul writes in that 13th chapter, and you're probably very familiar to you. These are words often recited at times of wedding, other joyous occasions of reunion and meeting for us as Christian men and women. Paul writes these words to the Christians of Corinth. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to be able to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned and sacrificed, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. So, faith, hope, love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Here ends our epistle lesson. And I turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus' words as he prepared his apostles for his own departure and the ministry that would follow his resurrection. The words of Jesus from John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the good news of Jesus Christ for us today. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. Well, today is Valentine's Day, a day popularly associated with love and romance. Yesterday, I went out and purchased some roses for my wife. I kidnapped them this morning. They're on the altar. Eileen, just a testimony to my love for you. And my wife here is here in the congregation this morning. Of course, when she arrived home, she had a vase of flowers for me. thank you, Eileen. Thank you. So this is a day associated with love and romance, a time to rekindle our sense of love for one another. And what better time to give thought to God's love for us as a foundation for our own Christian faith. Although now very secular, Valentine's Day actually started out as a Christian feast day, honoring an early Christian saint and martyr named Valentius. Legend has it that he embroiled himself in big trouble, which cost him his life by officiating at wedding services for Roman soldiers at a time when soldiers were not allowed under the edicts of Rome to be married at all. While Roman Catholic, Episcopal, and Lutheran churches still pay homage, at least some homage, to St. Valentius. In our own United Church of Christ, we don't venerate any saints except the biblical authors, St. Matthew and Luke, Mark, John, Paul. But anyone like Valentius who promotes the cause of love and marriage is someone I like and am glad to honor. Personally, I think there is too little love in the world. There needs to be more. And that's one of the reasons why I am a Christian. Love is very central to Christianity. We hear this declared in our scripture lesson from the Gospel of John for this morning, when Jesus declares to his apostles and the rest of us listening, "And now I give you a new commandment, to love one another. If you have loved one another, then everyone will know you are my disciples." Elsewhere in his ministry, Jesus also declares, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Jesus preached that we should even love our enemies. What's more, he demonstrated this love on the cross at Calvary, when he sacrificed his life for us and even asked God to forgive those who were crucifying him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was love. That was love, even for those persecuting and crucifying him. Of course, Jesus was simply embodying the love that God has for us. Basically, his whole mission in life was to reveal to us God's love. My favorite words from Jesus on God's love are those that we recite at the start of every communion service here at St. Paul. Like me, you probably know them by heart. "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting." What beautiful reassurance. I know there are a lot of folks today who believe that all religions are alike. They say it doesn't matter which religion you choose because they all head in the same direction. Well, I can't agree. I've taken a serious look at other faiths, at divinity schools and seminaries. Such exploration, which I and others have pursued, is called studies in comparative religions. That's how it's built, studies in comparative religions. You're comparing one religion to another. However, I've never found a faith that emphasizes, as Jesus in Christianity does, and continues to do, the importance of love. Not Hinduism, not Buddhism, not Judaism, not Islam, which in fact talks more about divine mercy than divine love. The faith that Jesus proclaimed really is unique. Now, Jesus was Jewish. His message was very much grounded in Judaism, but he teased out from his Jewish faith some teachings that weren't so evident. And Jesus added to them his special insights that he had as God's own son and as the living embodiment of God's word. Consequently, he could and did speak about God's love and our responsibility to love one another with a total authority that amazed his audience and disconcerted the teacher of the law in those days, who thought they knew everything already. Jesus said, basically, "Don't let a rule or law get in the way of loving other people." If a law becomes an obstruction to love, then someone is misinterpreting the law and thwarting God's purposes. That was his message. And to me, this is a very sensible idea. Yet it's also a radical conviction that Jesus got Jesus killed by those he felt that we can take love too far, busting through barriers and divisions and lines that some would prefer to keep in place, perhaps for their own selfish advantage. This is not to say that our love as Christians should not be balanced And on this topic, I turned to someone who has had a big impact on me, a major theologian of the 20th century, a UCC pastor. He actually spent time initially in Germany, but then that was where he came from, but then in New York, visited Detroit, I think, on various occasions as well. Well, many, many years ago, this guy, his name was Paul Tillich, wrote an essay, an extended essay, which he entitled Love, Power, and Justice. Interpreting the gospel truth as preached by Jesus, Tillich argued that Christian love always needs to be tempered by power and justice. What did he mean by this? He said, love that doesn't have any power in it, love that doesn't get enacted or put into practice, is nothing more than sentimental talk. Put another way, love talk that just stays talk amounts to little more than sweet nothings. Likewise, love that's not guided by a sense of justice and fairness can end up as something monstrous. Love not balanced out by a sense of what's fair and appropriate can make unhealthy and even destructive demands on others. And that's what's happening when love turns fanatical. It's also what's going on when the person upon whom such love gets focused begins to feel claustrophobic to the point that they think they need to escape, run away. Yes, love needs power and justice as its constant companions to remain balanced and healthy for us and to be a healthy, happy experience. Jesus modeled this kind of balanced love in all his relationships. He put love into action in very concrete ways. Again and again, he demonstrated his love for others in positive ways through kind, caring words and moments of healing. But Jesus also played fair in love, never using his love to selfishly manipulate others. Nor did he allow his love for one person to lead him to neglect others. He wasn't just focused, his love was focused on this person, but there was a love that he was able to share with many across the board. As God's Son, keeping everything balanced, Jesus made love something beautiful. None of us can hope to be as perfect as Jesus was, but as we go through life as Christians, we can still strive to perfect our love so that it is more sincere and less selfish. The Apostle Paul took the example of Jesus very seriously, and his words too. If I may say so, Paul started out as kind of a mean old man. He wasn't even old, but he was already a mean old man at a young age. He was arrogant, he was vindictive, hateful. Although in the family business of tent making, Paul, then called Saul, made his living as a bounty hunter of Christians. I talked about this a couple weeks back, until he had this mystical encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, the capital of present-day Syria. Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? We hear these words of testimony in the book of Acts of the Apostles. And that question that Jesus asked turned Saul or Paul around. Blinded for a time, Paul's eyes were opened spiritually by the risen, exalted Christ to a life informed and shaped by love of God and a love for others. And he then proclaimed that message of love, became its most eloquent spokesman. He proclaimed that message of love across the Mediterranean world, which is the world he knew, ranging from the Holy Land to the Middle East to Rome. Consider these messages shared in the letters or epistles that Paul wrote to budding Christian believers in Rome and Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae. To the Romans, he said, God's love has been poured into our hearts, the Holy Spirit, which has been given us. He added, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Paul also gave the Romans this assurance. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's beautiful testimony, isn't it? But Paul didn't stop his preaching there. To the Ephesians, Paul wrote, "Be imitators of God, beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." However, Paul's most superlative proclamation of our call to love one another in the spirit of Jesus Christ comes in that first letter to the Corinthians that Tracy sang about and that I just read from. Here Paul says, "If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith to be able to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned in sacrifice, but have not love, I gain nothing." So here Paul is going through this whole list of all these great things that we can be as Christians. And he says, if love isn't the foundation, if love isn't at the center, if love doesn't permeate everything else we're doing, what good is it? What good is it? What Paul underscores is that there is simply no substitute for love. Spirituality is empty without love. Likewise, in love's absence, wisdom is not so wise. Love, sincere love, is what puts flesh on the bones of our faith and makes it meaningful. A Christian without love in his or her heart for God and others is just being a hypocrite, because love is so fundamental to how God wants us to believe and act. As Paul further explains in his letter to the Corinthians, real love is demonstrated when we set aside all arrogance, rudeness, irritability, resentment, and negativity, and instead cultivate in ourselves the virtues of patience, kindness, hope, a willingness to trust God and others. Yes, Paul is well acquainted with human foibles. He knows that we're not going to hit the mark every time, but he advises, and I quote from his first letter to the Corinthians a little bit further on, make love your aim. Make love your aim. We're not perfect people. No. But we are called to make love our aim. Keep working at it. We're going to fall down here or there. But we need to do a reset and make love our aim and bring love to fruition. In other words, keep working at it until you get in the habit of loving as you should love, all in Christ's name and following his example. Our capacity to love, Paul believes, is the best evidence of our spiritual maturity where we have given up childish ways. Frankly, I grew up in a household where there was a lot of trouble expressing love. Fortunately, we got better with it over time. We all got better with it over time. But that experience has made me more conscious of the importance of expressing and demonstrating love. And it needs to be at the core of our faith and personal theology. When I was ordained, one of the presiding ministers gave me instructions. And to my surprise, in this exalted gathering, she started talking about peanuts. I was never a great follower of cartoons, and here she's at the center of my ordination service talking about Lucy and Charlie Brown. And she said basically to me, she said, "Jeff," and she turned to me when she said that. She said, "Jeff, both Lucy and Charlie Brown were able to tell the truth. But Lucy could just tell the truth. Charlie Brown could tell the truth with love." And she said, "That makes all the difference in the world." And in your ministry ahead, she said, "Always strive to tell the truth with love. That will make all the difference." Well, these are wise words. I cherish them still. It's advice I try to follow always. I hope you as a congregation have experienced that with me. And I try to teach and preach it too. Years from now, when my days here as pastor is done, I hope that you're going to remember me as a pastor who preached God's word faithfully and preached it simply enough to be understood in terms of love for God and love for one another. That's just foundational. On this Valentine's Day, let's show the world that faith is all about love. Love spoken, love demonstrated, even in the most difficult and awkward moments of our lives. May God bless us and help us to be a people who know how to love as Jesus loved. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as we do join in prayer today, there are many I mentioned. John, I don't know if I included you in prayer earlier, but I want to do so now. Let's, with bowed heads, turn to our Lord. Gracious God, we thank you that we've had this chance to worship with you today and just turn to you with all our needs and cares. We know you as a God of love who reaches out to us in the most caring and profound ways. We thank you that as we walk with you, you walk with us, and that you revealed your purposes for us through Jesus Christ, your loving purposes. We ask, God, that you help us each to become more loving people in what we say and in what we do, that our lives might be an example, a positive example to others as well in a troubled world that needs all the love it can get. We ask, God, your help for those struggling in one way or another for health and well-being. Bring healing, hope, comfort, strength. All is an expression of your love. These things that we ask today in the name of Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
With a vision in our minds of how the world could be, and the fullness of our hearts from the suffering we see, when we make all that we are and have part of God's destiny, we can fill the world with love. We can fill the world with love.
All the people in this world, living lives of pain and fear, crying out into the night, wondering when someone will hear, while there are so many others having so much they can share. Can we fill the world with love? Can we fill the world with love?
We whose spirits long to share, long to comfort and to heal, know that when we act alone, hope is difficult to feel, but together as we labor God's compassion to reveal, we will fill the world with love. We will fill the world with love.
Let us hesitate no longer in our doubt and our dismay.
There's a power at work within us that has promised a new day. And the time will surely come, it will not be long delayed, when God fills the world with love. When God fills the world with love.
Go this day, remembering that as Christ's disciples and God's children, we are called to be a loving people, showing that love not only through word, but also caring deed. God bless you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you always. Amen. Amen. The ushers will come forth and dismiss you by pews. Thank you.